There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. The Bookshelf, what you should be reading.
Fiona Duvivier is with us. Not your first time on the show.
No. I love doing it.
But for anybody who didn't hear you the last time and your dulcet tones, what do you do? Introduce yourself to us.
I am a freelance content writer. So I write for companies, basically. They're marketing websites, speeches, radio adverts, and children's books for some clients. So and a lot of poems for friends. But yes, so I'm very comfortable in the land of words. So I jumped at the chance to be able to talk about it. So.
And last time you were on the show, you were talking about kind of a roundup of crime fiction reads. Jodi Picou, I think, came up a few times. Yep. John Grisham. We had a lovely chat about Agatha Christie. It was a shame you weren't here.
So sad I missed that.
We are here to talk about the latest Leanne Moriarty book, Nine Perfect Strangers.
Came out in September, right? I think. No, end of September.
Very recently.
Really, really recently. Yeah.
And have you read Leanne Moriarty's books before?
Lots, yes. Everything. All she's written. Yes.
All she's written. So yes. You are a big Leanne Moriarty fan.
I am, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And before I ask you if you enjoyed it, I'm going to play this little clip of Leanne talking about what the book is about.
Nine Perfect Strangers is about nine people who go to a health resort. They've signed up for a 10-day transformation retreat and they're hoping for mindfulness and meditation, but they get a rather different experience than what they imagined. The book is really a satire of the wellness industry and the things that we're prepared to do to transform ourselves. And in this book, my characters take that even further. There's all sorts of weird and wonderful things that go on in the name of health. That's what I wanted to explore, this obsession when your life is actually pretty good with how do you transform it. Most of my books take a gentle, satirical approach, so I never set out to do a complete satire, but I think the wellness industry lends itself to a little bit of comedy. I talked to a lot of people who've been to some crazy resorts and did a lot of reading on the things that people are prepared to do. I probably didn't do as much research for this as I should have. My intentions were to go to lots of crazy resorts. I actually went to just one really very lovely resort where the food was delicious. I did give up coffee, so I did sacrifice myself for my art. In Nine Perfect Strangers, one of the characters is Frances Welty, and she's a 52-year-old romantic novelist, a formerly best-selling novelist, and it is actually the first time I put a novelist in one of my books. When my husband read it, he said afterwards, "You do realise when this book comes out, you will be exactly the same age as Frances. That's what everybody's going to think, that she's you." And I said, "I know. That's why I made her completely charming, so everybody will like her. She's not me. She's nicer." I had a lot of fun writing her.
Leanne Moriarty there talking about her latest book, Nine Perfect Strangers. So Fiona Duvivier in the reviewer chair. What did you think of the book?
Oh, I'm sorry. She messed it up. Yeah. Oh, it was because I'm a big fan of her. So obviously she falls into this domestic noir sort of category, which is very much sort of thrillery, but in a very everyday kind of relatable environment, and often including lots of kind of strong women and, you know, the sort of relatable instances and things that kind of sort of dark twists on things that people have experienced themselves. So big fan. I've read them all. I've given them to my mother. I've shared them with friends. And so I was super excited to read the book and I was so disappointed. I mean, I think I wouldn't say it's not a bad book. It's not that it's badly written. It's still very much kind of in the style that she's done it. And I think you could quite easily find it relatively enjoyable. And if you're at the airport and you're headed to a sun lounger for a week, you'd be absolutely fine with it. But it definitely was, for me, nowhere near the caliber of the stuff that she's written before. And that was very disappointing. And the irony being that the author, novelist in the book that she just referenced in the clip is heading to the retreat for various reasons, one of which is she just got a really bad review on her, you know, the fact that apparently her romance novels aren't as popular and the last book that she wrote was not good and isn't going to be picked up. And I just can't help but see this, you know, scarily ironic correlation between the, that she's just sort of, I don't know what she was trying to do, but she's gone in a different direction. And for me, it just really didn't work.
I would agree.
Oh,
yeah.
And I was a bit disappointed because I Annabella kindly got a copy of the book for me, and I saved it to read because I thought this would be a good good lying on the sofa book. It was a lying on the sofa book indeed. However, I just felt that the characters were stereotyped, that there was no meat or substance to it, and I was still waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
At the end, what I thought was going to happen didn't, and maybe that's good. That's a twist in the plot that I thought was going to happen, and something quite different happened, or maybe nothing at all happened.
It was the opposite of everything that she did so well in Big Little Lies, which was not stereotype characters, I didn't feel.
No.
Everybody felt like you could meet them, you could walk into the room and there they would be. And there was a lot of meat to that story, like it was talking about some very dark themes. And I understand going in a perhaps a lighter direction with this book. And it's very readable.
Readable.
It is very readable.
I couldn't put it down, but part of that was because I was always wondering, you know,
just what's going to happen?
Is it going to pick up?
Usually at the end of her books or towards the end or at some point, you learn stuff about the characters that tends to be quite surprising. I found myself going, oh, goodness, you know, that I didn't see that coming. And that happened to me. Like there was one tiny bit at the end where I was like, oh, well, oh, OK. And then otherwise, everyone was kind of who
you
expect them to be. And, you know, the sort of secrets of the characters in her other books tend to sort of be unveiled sort of against their wishes, rather by accident. Whereas these people all went there, obviously, with problems. You don't go and do a 10-day health cleanse, usually, unless you've got some sort of, and most people have issues anyway. So it was sort of like, okay, we're going to put 9 people in a room. Obviously, they're all going to be a bit mental. And then we're going to discuss other stuff. And it's, you know, it's going to be a crazy time.
I liked the concept so much because I like people being in a confined space and the under pressure.
It's a closed room murder. It's
like
the Christie murder, isn't it?
Pain, don't you?
Exactly. Yes.
You're like my mother, whose favourite movie is Home Alone, which she just laughs at all the time.
Yeah, pretty much. Actually, yeah. I think we probably get on. Yeah. Never make me work in Antarctica. Oh, that would be dangerous. Yeah, no, I liked the whole I like a claustrophobic environment for the characters because I feel like it brings out more tension. Mm-hmm. But it never got there. It just never escalated to a level that was properly meaty and compelling.
Yeah.
It was farcical more often than not.
Yeah, and I was quite surprised to hear in her clip talk about the fact that she wanted to kind of touch on the health, the wellness industry and the mindfulness element industry. And because like it's a topic that needs to be discussed. I mean, you know, we were talking about Jodie Peacock. I mean, every book that she does deals with quite a profound issue, you know, big, big topics. And if you're going to write a book that addresses a topic, it should be a good topic, like a really kind of powerful one that's interesting, topical or profound, or that everyone is kind of thinking about or everyone's got an opinion on. I'm not sure there's really
I'd say
a discussion to be had about the wellness industry.
I think that it is actually quite divisive.
Right, okay.
And I think it is a topic that people are talking about a lot.
Okay.
But in terms of the weight of the topic versus the weight of some of the stuff that's covered in her, not even just Jodie Picoult, but
previous books she's done bigger issues.
Maybe she just wanted to go in a lighter direction. Maybe she felt that Big Little Lies was kind of defining. I don't know.
I feel like she knows someone who works in the wellness industry that she does not like.
I don't think she was trying to go in a lighter direction. It seemed from the interview that she was saying that she felt that this was a big topic. And yes, obviously there are issues with people being ripped off, I'm sure, and paying an arm and a leg for, 10 days of actually nothing happening at all. But I don't really feel that she picked that out. In this book, it wasn't an expose on the wellness industry by any means.
No, and there's definitely, obviously, certain things happened, without obviously spoiling it for you, certain things happened to them that are questionable in the slightest possible way. But you don't, the perpetrators of the questionable activity are not given enough personality for you to be able to think, oh, well, that might happen to me, so that's quite scary, you're kind of like, well, they're crazy, so I don't, yeah. You know, I kind of would have left after about 5 minutes.
There is a distance that isn't there in her other books. Like, I didn't care about the characters.
No.
And if you don't care about the characters...
There wasn't, like, because it kind of, you have like an opening chapter and then it kind of jumps 10 years. And then I felt that was badly placed. And it just, I'm not sure. It also slightly felt to me like, I don't know where the editing had kind of worked very well. It's a shame. I mean, don't get me wrong, you definitely would have fun reading it. But if you're a fan of hers, I would potentially consider avoiding it if you don't want your opinion of her ruined.
Or just go in expecting something.
Yeah. Low expectations. Yeah. But then you'll probably
something
enjoy
different.
It quite a lot. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Something a lot lighter than you expect, yeah. I think. What else would you like to share?
Sadly, not a massively positive note. I mean, as I say, I'm a big fan of hers. I really wanted to like it and I was really, really keen. I think for me, we just, as we were talking about before, the characters are not fleshed out enough. You can't really connect with them. You don't sort of sympathise. They were just very wishy-washy. I didn't particularly feel resentment or passionate excitement about any of them. It was very much kind of like, oh, okay. And these are they seemed very formulaic and very sort of plot devices. And one of the things that they do in while they're there on this retreat is has a interesting effect on them and allows them to open their minds in different ways. And during this experience, the novelist, who is one of the protagonists in the novel, talks about writing a story and the rules about writing a story and you know, how that kind of works. And again, they're just... there was too many points where I was like, well, I'm not sure you're taking your own advice here. I think she's... And the character itself, I think when she says... she was saying... Lynn Moriarty was saying in the clip earlier that we heard, in case you missed it, that her husband said, you know, people are going to say you're like this. Not because, I mean, Leanne Moriarty's 51, the other one's 52. They're based on... You know, they're going to draw comparisons. And I was like, you know, if you were going to do that, you need to make this character a lot more interesting than she is.
Yeah, I mean, she was just a nice lady.
Yeah.
You thought, you know, you'd have bumped into, you'd have had a bit of a chat in the queue at Sainsbury's.
Yeah, I think we would have been fine. Yeah.
Absolutely fine. But I was just wanting more.
Yeah.
You know, the dysfunctional family, the mum, the dad and the daughter,
yeah.
which could have been a really, really great story. Somehow it wasn't.
To be honest, actually, that story in itself could have been a whole book.
Yeah. And maybe I wanted more of that and less of the lottery winners.
Yeah.
Which was just
kind of
weird.
Pointless. And then they had this, one of the nine perfect strangers is, and also it's a misleading title because there are two other main kind of characters in it. And I felt like they could have maybe weaved that in or not. But anyway, that's probably a little niggling one of mine. But one of the nine perfect strangers is a mother of four, a divorced mother of four. And she actually writes in the book, or that the novelist is thinking to herself, why is it that mothers are all just sort of appear two-dimensional? You know, all they know is to be a mother and a wife and that's it. And, you know, and she's like, that's wrong. You know, and I was told by my editor, you should make them, you know, give them more oomph. But she never gives this woman any oomph. We have like about 2 seconds of gumption from this woman. And then, but the rest of the time she is very, she has these really kind of archaic things that she's worried about that you're kind of like, oh my God, is that really what people think about in this day and age? I just don't, that's worrying.
And all she wants to do is lose weight.
Yeah. And you didn't, you know, you're kind of sort of really, it's really hard to connect. I couldn't really connect with any of the characters, possibly the daughter. I did like, but
Zoe,
again, as we say, I think that would have been a far better book and exploring a really profound issue.
Yeah.
That family was, I think, the strongest part of the story.
And I wanted more.
Yeah, and the dad's called Napoleon, which is an awesome
great name.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a name. Like, I mean, I know it's a name, but you know, I didn't know people were calling their kids that kind of name, but that's a cool name.
I think that was the Leanne Moriarty that we know and love coming through there. Do you think maybe it fell flat because there were just too many characters?
I mean, possibly, but then you know, like quite a few of her books, like the Three Wishes one's got the three girls in it and then their kind of families, and even Truly Madly Guilty that she did's got kind of like several families involved with it. So I think she's capable of doing it, but yeah, that is potentially an issue because you normally wouldn't have kind of nine people that you're attempting to flush out properly, which she does, you know, she doesn't do. There's not enough. you know, they all get a kind of edgy, there's like a little bit, but a sort of a twist to their story, but it's not interesting or surprising, which again is a huge disappointment.
No, it kept me reading. I have to say that it was immensely readable. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Holiday read, I'd say.
Holiday read.
Yeah. Definite sun lounger read, yeah.
But I was left at the end feeling cheated, like I'd wasted my time.
I felt, do you know, I kind of got to the end of it and I felt like my parents when I did something really, really wrong as a child, and that I would know how bad it was if they came out with the phrase, "I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed." And I felt like that's how I felt about this book.
Yeah, and that's brilliant.
Like, you've really upset, you know. I mean, yeah. I tried.
And you must be a bit disappointed with yourself as well.
Yeah, well, yeah exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of how I felt when I kind of got to the end of it. And I was just, it was such a shame.
That's a great way of summing it up, I think. Any more parting comments? Yvette, any more thoughts? I feel like we've...
No, I feel bad for not being more positive about it, because she's such a good writer and I've enjoyed so much in the past.
She did bring it on herself.
I feel terribly guilty.
I can't recommend her books enough. Don't start with this one.
Yes,
if you're new to her,
that is fair.
Pick up another one. Husband's Secret's really good. Hypnotist Love Story I thought was brilliant. I've actually bought in some of the ones I happen to have because I'm that excited. Yeah. I definitely pick her up. I can't recommend her enough. Just don't start with this one.
I think that is very good advice.
I think we just hold her to such a high standard. Because we love her.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, but again, I think it's what I think for me is a real shame. I mean, you know, she's not, I think she's a very talented writer. She writes very interesting stories. And as you were saying in the last segment about picking books that have a good story and are a good read, she is definitely that. You know, I wouldn't necessarily say I think she's one of the most, you know, profound authors of our generation or anything. Mm. But, you know, so it, for me, in some ways, I'm kind of like, you know, you do constantly smash it, but you're smashing it at not the highest of levels. And, you know, like, so to go, I just, she really disappointed me.
Oh, no.
I didn't want to be. I gave it everything I had.
We have a couple of minutes to maybe lift the tone a bit with maybe a book that you read recently in a similar genre that you really enjoyed.
Yes, in the domestic noir sphere, which is becoming ever more popular now, especially now since the women of Hollywood picking up the movie rights to them all. Because we had Girl on the Train, obviously, Paula Hawkins, that then became a movie. Gone Girl on Sharp Objects just became a TV show, which I haven't watched yet. Although I don't like Gillian Flynn at all, which might be controversial to say.
Why?
I think she's a really bad writer.
Well, that's interesting. Well, you know, we're talking about now the book clubs in Annabelle. Where
is it time for confessions
woman,
now?
I was fine with it.
I watched Gone Girl because I actually couldn't get into the book.
Yep. Not surprised. I finished the book because I wanted to know what happened, but I didn't. I don't rate her as an author, I'm afraid, at all. The story is interesting. I wish someone else had written it.
But we were talking about positive things.
Well, funnily enough, I picked up I think I was given it actually by a friend, The Wife Between Us, which is written by Greer Hendricks and Sarah Pekkanen. I'm not 100%
sure. So it's a collaboration.
It's a collaboration. I think they are journalists and decided to write this novel together. Mm. And it sort of, I should have brought it with me, but it's the back of it's kind of like it's about obviously a woman that's get left by her husband, and then, but it says right on the front, I think, or the back, it's not what you'd think it would be. So obviously, you know, you kind of think it might be about a bitter ex-wife and, you know, the new wife and how that works, and I wasn't sure about it, and I kind of started it, and I was getting into it. Now, admittedly, I saw the twist coming miles away, and I'm not sure, because loads of people are like, oh my God, I just did not see that coming. And I kind of feel they are that. But that did not stop me enjoying the book. I thought it was really good. I did enjoy that very much.
And that's The Wife Between Us.
The Wife Between Us, yes. Written by Greer Hendricks and Sarah Pekkanen, I think. I'm probably pronouncing that really wrong. I do apologise.
That's okay. I'm sure people will go on the Google and they will find the information and it will all be well and fine. That is about all that we've got time for, unless Yvette, you have a passing recommendation.
The two things I've read most recently, surprise, surprise, crime novels, which I'm not sure we've done on the radio. I have read Anne Cleeve's Wild Fire, which is the final one in the Shetland series. And I've also read the latest Ian Rankin one, which I really, really enjoyed.
Is that In a House of Lies?
It is indeed.
So, yeah, there you go. That's unfortunately all that we have time for, but you've got so many recommendations there to maybe counter the Leanne Moriarty one that we shouldn't start with if you haven't read her before.
She's got six other great books. Go read them. They are fantastic.
Or read this one if you want a quick beach read, I'd say. Nine Perfect Strangers. Okay, thank you so much, Fiona, for coming into the studio. It was a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you so much. I love doing it.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.